Hey everyone, welcome to another deep dive. Today we're going to be exploring something I think you're going to be really interested in.
Okay.
The mind-body connection. Our main source for this deep dive is going to be an article called Understanding the Mind-Body Connection from Life Elevated Wellness. It was published just this year.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to uncover some surprising historical insights and even a few actionable things that you can take away from this deep dive.
Sounds fascinating.
So let's jump right in. Can you help us define the mind-body connection? We hear it everywhere, but sometimes it feels a bit vague.
Sure.
What's the core concept here?
Well, the core idea is that our mental and physical states aren't separate at all. They're in constant communication. What you think and feel can influence your physical health and vice versa.
Okay, so it's more than just stress making you sick.
Right. It's a two-way street. The article mentions stress leading to heart disease, but also how exercise can improve mood. What's really interesting is that it moves us away from thinking of health in isolated parts. It's a much more holistic view.
That makes a lot of sense. But it also seems like a pretty modern idea. Is this just a new age fad? Or has this concept been around for a while?
It's actually much older than you might think. Ancient practices like yoga and meditation, for example, were built on this very idea of mind and body being interconnected.
So yogis, thousands of years ago, already had a sense of this.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. But what about Western thought? Was this concept ever explored in our philosophical traditions?
Even René Descartes, who's famous for his theory of mind-body dualism, sparked debates on how the two actually interacted. It was a paradox. While separating them in theory, he couldn't deny they were somehow linked. Then you have Freud, whose work in psychoanalysis really highlighted the mind's influence on the body and brought legitimacy to the idea that psychological factors could impact physical health.
So the idea has been bubbling under the surface for centuries. But how did it become so mainstream?
Well, the article mentions the rise of holistic health movements, which directly challenged the traditional separation of mind and body. This eventually led to fields like psychosomatic medicine, where the focus is on how emotional and psychological factors contribute to physical symptoms and diseases.
That's fascinating. So we've gone from ancient wisdom to modern medicine. And the mind-body connection is at the heart of it. Let's get a little more specific. If our mental health affects our physical health, how does that actually manifest in our everyday lives? What are some concrete examples?
Let's start with stress, which is something we all experience. The article points out how chronic stress can manifest in headaches, GI issues, and even musculoskeletal pain. And it goes deeper than that. Chronic stress can also weaken the immune system, leaving you more susceptible to infections.
So the stress headaches are a real thing,
yeah.
Not just me being dramatic.
Yeah, they're absolutely real. And it's not just stress. The article also talks about anxiety and how it can trigger physical responses like a rapid heartbeat, fatigue, and even shortness of breath. In some cases, anxiety can actually mimic or worsen existing physical conditions.
Wow, so anxiety can have that much of a physical impact.
It certainly can. And then there's depression, which the article says can impact chronic diseases like diabetes and heart disease. It's a complex interplay. But depression is often accompanied by things like fatigue, reduced immunity, appetite changes, and even inflammation, all of which can contribute to the development or progression of other illnesses.
This is honestly more connected than I realized. I knew mental health was important, but I didn't realize it was this intertwined with physical health.
Mm.
So we've talked about the mind affecting the body, but what about the reverse? Can my physical health actually mess with my mind?
Absolutely. The article highlights how taking care of your physical health can lead to significant improvements in your mental well-being. For example, exercise not only releases those feel-good hormones like endorphins, which can reduce anxiety and depression, but it can also improve brain function and memory.
So that post-workout glow isn't just about feeling good physically, it's impacting my brain too.
Exactly. And we can't forget about nutrition. The article emphasizes how important a balanced diet is for mental health. On the other hand, processed foods and sugar can contribute to mood swings and even cognitive decline.
I've definitely noticed that when I'm eating a lot of junk food, I tend to feel more sluggish and irritable.
That makes perfect sense. And then there's sleep. We all know we get cranky when we don't get enough sleep. But the article highlights the deeper connection to things like decreased cognitive ability and increased stress levels.
Because we've covered how the mind affects the body and vice versa. But where do our emotions fit into all of this? They can sometimes feel so separate from our physical selves.
That's a great point. It's tempting to think of emotions as intangible. But emotional health is actually the crucial bridge between the mind and body.
The emotional bridge. I like that. But how do emotions, which seem so internal, have a physical impact?
While they may feel intangible, emotions actually manifest physically and directly impact our bodily functions. Take chronic stress and negative emotions, for example. They can lead to an increase in heart rate and blood pressure, and even weaken the immune system.
So it's not just all in my head. Emotions really do have a physical impact.
Precisely. And that's why managing them is so important. The article points out a number of techniques that can be helpful, like mindfulness, cognitive behavioral therapy, journaling, yoga, meditation. There are a lot of options out there.
There's a lot to take in. But what are the actual benefits of these techniques?
They can be incredibly helpful in reducing stress, helping you develop healthier coping mechanisms, improving emotional stability, and enhancing mental clarity, all of which can have a positive ripple effect on your physical health.
Okay, let's talk about something we all deal with, stress. We touched on it briefly. But can you explain the science behind what happens in our bodies when we're stressed?
When we encounter a stressor, our body activates what's called the HPA axis, which is a complex system involving the hypothalamus, the pituitary gland, and adrenal glands. This activation leads to the release of stress hormones like cortisol and adrenaline, which are designed to help us deal with threats.
So those are the fight or flight hormones we hear about.
Exactly. In small doses, they're beneficial, giving us the energy and focus we need to handle challenging situations.
But the article emphasized the risks of chronic stress. What's happening in our bodies when we're constantly stressed out?
When those stress hormones are constantly elevated, it can lead to a cascade of negative effects. Cortisol, in particular, can disrupt various bodily functions, affecting everything from our sleep cycle and metabolism to our immune response and cognitive function. And chronic stress has been linked to everything from anxiety and depression to heart disease and digestive problems.
So a little stress is okay, but chronic stress is a big no-no. Are there ways to manage it effectively?
Absolutely. The article suggests several strategies, including mindfulness, regular exercise, ensuring you're getting enough sleep, and building a strong support system, all of which can be incredibly helpful.
This is all starting to feel a bit overwhelming. Are there any practical, actionable ways to apply all this knowledge to our lives?
Don't worry. The article offers some great tools. It highlights what are called mind-body practices, which are specific techniques you can use to enhance your health by tapping into this mind-body connection. It focuses on three practices in particular: yoga, meditation, and Tai Chi.
So it's not just about understanding the connection, it's about actually doing something with this knowledge.
Exactly. Let's start with yoga. It combines physical postures with breath control, which is a powerful combination for reducing stress, anxiety, and improving emotional resilience. It helps regulate your nervous system, promoting relaxation and a sense of calm.
I've always been curious about yoga, but I'm not sure I'm flexible enough.
You don't have to be a contortionist to benefit from yoga. There are so many different styles and levels. You're sure to find one that works for you. Even a few minutes a day can make a difference.
What about meditation? I hear so much about it, but I'm not sure where to start.
That article mentions two types of meditation in particular: mindfulness meditation and loving kindness meditation. Mindfulness meditation is about bringing your attention to the present moment without judgment. It can help you become more aware of your thoughts, feelings, and physical sensations, helping you break free from negative thought patterns. Loving kindness meditation, on the other hand, cultivates feelings of compassion and kindness towards yourself and others.
They both sound really beneficial. What about Tai Chi? I've heard it described as meditation in motion.
That's a great way to put it. Tai Chi is a gentle form of exercise that involves slow-flowing movements and deep breathing. It's been shown to improve balance, coordination, and flexibility, all while reducing stress and enhancing mindfulness.
This is all so fascinating, but is there actual scientific evidence to support the mind-body connection?
Absolutely. The field of mind-body studies is booming right now, with new research constantly emerging.
What are some of the most exciting findings?
Well, studies have definitively shown that chronic stress weakens our immune systems, leaving us more susceptible to illness, just as the article suggested.
That makes sense, given all the health problems we linked to stress earlier. Is there anything else that stands out?
There's been a lot of research on what are called mindfulness-based interventions, like MBSR programs, which stands for Mindfulness-Based Stress Reduction. These programs have proven incredibly effective for managing anxiety, depression, and even chronic pain. They combine mindfulness meditation with gentle yoga and have shown remarkable physical and mental benefits.
Wow. So it's not just a trendy buzzword. There's real science behind this stuff. Is there anything else that's particularly groundbreaking?
What's really exciting is that neuroscience is giving us a look inside the brain. And studies are showing that practices like yoga and meditation can actually change the structure and function of the brain for the better.
So our thoughts and practices can literally reshape our brains.
It really is.
That's incredible.
And what's even more promising is that research is increasingly interdisciplinary, with psychologists, neuroscientists, and healthcare practitioners working together to explore this connection further. It's a truly dynamic and rapidly evolving field.
Okay, so we've covered the mind affecting the body, the body affecting the mind, the role of emotions, the impact of stress, and even practical techniques to harness this connection. What would you say is the most important thing for listeners to take away from all of this?
I think the most crucial takeaway is that the mind and body are not separate entities. They're constantly communicating and influencing each other. This means that we're not just passive bystanders. We can actively participate in shaping our own health and well-being.
That's a very empowering thought. So what's next in our deep dive? What else is there to uncover about the mind-body connection?
Well, we've talked a lot about the general concepts, but next we'll delve into the specific world of hormones and their critical role in all of this.
Sounds fascinating. Stay tuned for part two of our deep dive, where we'll explore the fascinating world of hormones and how they impact the mind-body connection.
Welcome back to our deep dive into the mind-body connection.
We're picking up right where we left off, ready to explore the fascinating world of hormones.
That's right. We'll be delving into the intricate ways these chemical messengers influence the relationship between the mind and body.
Okay. Before we get too deep, can we rewind a bit? What exactly are hormones? And how do they work within this whole mind-body connection?
Think of hormones as chemical messengers produced by different glands in your body. They travel through the bloodstream, acting like signals that tell various organs and systems what to do.
So they're like the body's internal communication network.
That's a great analogy. And some hormones,
yeah,
like the stress hormones, cortisol, and adrenaline, play a particularly important role in the mind-body connection. We touched on them briefly in the last part.
Right. We talked about how chronic stress keeps those hormones elevated and how that can be problematic. But can you remind us what cortisol does specifically?
Cortisol is often called the stress hormone because it's released by the adrenal glands in response to stress. In small doses, it's actually beneficial, helping us deal with immediate threats. It provides that extra energy and focus we need to handle challenging situations.
So it's like our body's natural alarm system.
Exactly. But when we're chronically stressed, those cortisol levels stay elevated. And that's when it starts to interfere with various bodily functions, from our sleep and metabolism to our immune system, and even our cognitive function. It can really wreak havoc on both our mental and physical health.
So managing stress is absolutely crucial for keeping those cortisol levels in check.
Absolutely. And thankfully, there are many effective ways to manage stress, such as practicing mindfulness, exercising regularly, and prioritizing sleep.
What about adrenaline? We mentioned that as a stress hormone too, right?
Yes, adrenaline, also known as epinephrine, is another hormone released by the adrenal glands during the fight or flight response. It's responsible for that surge of energy we feel when we face danger. It increases heart rate, boosts blood flow to our muscles, and sharpens our senses, preparing us to either fight or flee.
It sounds like it would be helpful in certain situations.
In short bursts, it's incredibly helpful. It allows us to react quickly in dangerous situations. But just like with cortisol, if adrenaline levels are chronically elevated due to ongoing stress, it can contribute to problems like anxiety, insomnia, and even cardiovascular issues.
So it seems like balance is key when it comes to these stress hormones. What about the feel-good hormones? I know there's one called endorphins, right?
Yes. Endorphins are those natural painkillers and mood boosters that we all love. They're produced by our brain and nervous system and are released during activities like exercise.
So that's why I always feel so much better after a good workout.
Exactly. Endorphins are responsible for that runner's high and play a significant role in reducing stress, alleviating anxiety, and promoting that overall sense of well-being.
So exercise is like a natural mood booster.
It absolutely is. And it's not just exercise. Other activities like listening to music, spending time with loved ones, or even having a good laugh can also trigger the release of endorphins.
It's amazing how interconnected everything is. Taking care of our mental and emotional well-being also seems to benefit our physical health through these hormones.
That's the beauty of the mind-body connection. It's this intricate two-way street with these positive feedback loops constantly reinforcing each other.
So we've talked about stress hormones and feel-good hormones. Are there any other key players in this hormonal dance we should know about?
There are a couple more worth mentioning. Let's start with serotonin, often referred to as the happy hormone, because it plays a crucial role in regulating mood.
I've heard about serotonin. It's linked to things like depression and anxiety, right? Mm,
that's right. It's also involved in regulating sleep, appetite, and even digestion. When serotonin levels are low, it can contribute to various issues, including depression, anxiety, insomnia, and even digestive problems.
So are there ways to boost our serotonin naturally?
There are. The article suggests getting enough exposure to sunlight, engaging in regular exercise, and maintaining a balanced diet rich in tryptophan.
Tryptophan. Isn't that found in turkey? Is that why everyone gets sleepy after Thanksgiving dinner?
You got it. Tryptophan is an amino acid that our body uses to produce serotonin. Turkey is a good source of it. And while it's not the sole reason for post-Thanksgiving sleepiness, it certainly plays a role in those feelings of contentment and relaxation.
Interesting. So a Thanksgiving feast can actually be a mood booster.
It certainly can contribute.
Okay.
Let's move on to another important hormone, dopamine, often called the reward hormone.
Dopamine. I know that's involved in motivation and pleasure, but how does it fit into the mind-body connection?
Dopamine is released when we experience something pleasurable, like achieving a goal, enjoying a delicious meal, or receiving a compliment. It's our brain's way of reinforcing positive behaviors, motivating us to seek out more of those rewarding experiences.
So it's like our brain's reward system.
Exactly. Dopamine plays a crucial role in motivation, learning, and even addiction. When dopamine levels are low, it can lead to problems like depression, lack of motivation, and even Parkinson's disease.
Wow, that's pretty significant. Are there ways to boost dopamine naturally?
The article suggests engaging in activities that bring you joy, celebrating small victories, and setting achievable goals. It's all about finding those things that light up your reward system.
This is all fascinating. It's incredible how these tiny chemical messengers have such a profound impact on our lives. So what would you say is the most important thing for our listeners to understand about the role of hormones in the mind-body connection?
The key takeaway is that our hormones aren't just passively responding to our thoughts and feelings. They're actively shaping them. It's a dynamic two-way street, with hormones influencing our mental and emotional states, and our mental and emotional states influencing our hormones in return.
So it's this constant feedback loop between our minds,
Correct. Our
bodies, and these powerful chemical messengers.
Exactly. And by understanding this intricate dance, we can start to make more conscious choices that support our hormonal balance, which ultimately supports our overall well-being. We can literally take control of our health and happiness by understanding how these systems interact.
That's a powerful realization. It's like we have more agency than we realize when it comes to our own well-being.
We absolutely do. And speaking of agency, there's another fascinating aspect of the mind-body connection that we need to explore. The power of our thoughts and beliefs.
The power of our thoughts. That sounds intriguing, but also a bit mysterious. How do our thoughts actually influence our health?
Well, that's what we'll be diving into in the final part of our deep dive. We'll explore how our thoughts and beliefs can have a tangible impact on our physical health, both for better and for worse.
I can't wait to hear more about that. Stay tuned for part 3 of our deep dive, where we'll uncover the incredible power of the mind and its ability to shape our reality. Welcome back to our deep dive into the mind-body connection. We've explored a lot of ground already, from how our thoughts and emotions impact our physical health to the role of those powerful hormones. Now we're getting into something I find really fascinating, the power of our thoughts.
This is where things get really interesting. We're going beyond the physical and exploring how our thoughts and beliefs can actually shape our physical reality.
I have to admit, this part always feels a bit mysterious to me, but also incredibly exciting. So how does this work? How can something as intangible as a thought have a real impact on our physical bodies?
Well, one way to understand this is through the placebo effect. You've probably heard of that, right?
Of course. It's when people experience real benefits just from believing they're getting a treatment, even if it's a sugar pill or something.
Exactly. And what's fascinating is that the placebo effect isn't just psychological. It can trigger actual physiological changes in the body.
So our beliefs, just the act of believing something, can actually have a physical impact. That's incredible.
It really is. And there's a growing body of research exploring how this works. For example, studies have shown that people who believe they're receiving pain medication experience a decrease in pain signals in the brain, even if they're only getting a placebo. Their belief is actually altering their perception of pain.
That's pretty mind-blowing. So if our beliefs can have a positive impact through the placebo effect, can they also have a negative impact?
That's a great question, and unfortunately the answer is yes. There's something called the nocebo effect, which is essentially the opposite of the placebo effect.
Nocebo. So that's when our negative expectations actually lead to negative outcomes.
Precisely. If someone believes they're going to experience side effects from a medication, they're more likely to experience those side effects, even if the medication is harmless.
Wow, that's a little unnerving. It's like our minds can actually work against us.
It really highlights how powerful our thoughts and beliefs can be. And this brings us to the fascinating field of psychoneuroimmunology, or PNI for short.
Psychoneuroimmunology, that's quite a mouthful. What exactly is that?
PNI is a field of study that looks at the intricate connections between our psychological state, our nervous system, and our immune system.
So it's like the scientific study of the mind-body connection.
Exactly. And what's so exciting is that PNI research has demonstrated that our thoughts, emotions, and beliefs can directly influence our immune function. It's not just a philosophical concept. It's backed by science.
So if I'm constantly stressed or worried, it can actually weaken my immune system and make me more likely to get sick.
That's right. Chronic stress, negative emotions, and even pessimistic thinking can suppress our immune response, making us more vulnerable to illness.
And on the flip side, if I'm feeling positive and optimistic, it can actually boost my immune system.
Exactly. Studies have shown that positive emotions like joy, gratitude, and love can enhance immune function and even promote healing.
This is incredible. It's like we have this inner pharmacy that we can tap into just by changing our thoughts and beliefs.
That's a great way to put it. And there are so many practical ways to cultivate a more positive mindset, which in turn can positively impact our physical health.
Like what? What are some specific things people can do to tap into this inner pharmacy?
The article mentions a number of practices, including mindfulness, meditation, gratitude journaling, and even spending time in nature. These practices can help us shift our perspective, reduce stress, and cultivate more positive emotions.
So taking care of our mental and emotional health isn't just about feeling good. It's about supporting our physical health as well.
Absolutely. It's all interconnected. When we nurture our minds, we nurture our bodies. It's a holistic approach to well-being.
This has been an incredible deep dive. We've explored the mind-body connection from so many angles, the physical, the emotional, the hormonal, and now even the power of our thoughts.
And what's clear from all of this is that the mind and body are not separate at all. They're in this constant dance, influencing and shaping each other in incredibly intricate ways. It's a beautiful system.
So what does this all mean for our listeners? What's the key takeaway message you hope they walk away with?
I think the most important takeaway is that we have more power than we realize. To influence our own health and well-being, we're not passive passengers, we're active participants. By making conscious choices that support our mental, emotional, and physical health, we can create a ripple effect of positive change that extends to every aspect of our lives.
So it's not about accepting things they are. It's about actively engaging in our own healing and growth.
Exactly. And it's never too late to start. Even small changes can make a huge difference over time.
This has been a truly eye-opening deep dive. We've uncovered so much about the interconnectedness of our minds and bodies. And I have a feeling this is just the beginning of our exploration.
There's always more to learn and discover. As research continues, we'll gain even deeper insights into the power we hold within ourselves to shape our own health and well-being.
And that's what the deep dive is all about, exploring these fascinating connections and empowering ourselves with knowledge. So until next time, keep diving deep. And remember, the power to heal and thrive lies within you.